This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies, so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at Progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Support for the Memory Palace comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it. Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/memory. That's odoo.com/memory. Hey, it's Nate. And this summer, as I have been taking a bit of a break from new episodes while I work on a book of Memory Palace stories, new and old, for Random House, I had a chance to spend some time in my hometown of Providence, Rhode Island. And it is just in its glory in June and July. And despite what I do for a living, I'm not as nostalgic. If anything, I'm sort of anti-nostalgic, almost on principle. I think a lot about the past, but I don't dwell on it. But I will say that there was a moment driving down 95, windows down, music on, coming into the S-curve in Pawtucket by the husk of the old Apex department store when I was just taken over. That mix of bliss and longing that comes now and then as, like, I don't know, part gift and part challenge, when you are back in the place where you became you, and when you're back home. In the spirit of that, and of giving oneself over to nostalgia, I give you now, as the summer ends, in my half of the world anyway, what has to be the most nostalgic episode that I've ever done. Hope you like it. This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMeo. A brief eulogy for a commercial radio station. Upon hearing that 95.5 WBRU-FM in Providence, Rhode Island, would cease operation. We could get into the economics, about how media consolidation unleashed by the Telecommunications Act of 1996, that has continued unabated and largely unchallenged in the years since, has yielded a business environment in which a decreasing number of national and international conglomerates own an increasing number of local radio stations, broadcasting licenses, and concomitant physical infrastructure. And how, as they sought efficiencies and ways to extract profit and increase shareholder value, these companies typically cut local staff and often program them and operate their portfolio stations centrally and, in effect, broadcast from server farms half a continent away, with little to no concern about regional variations in taste or musical traditions or collective memory. We could get into the economics. And we could get into musicology and or music history and discuss how it came to be that an idiosyncratic and poorly defined radio format that combined musical styles popular primarily among white college-age Americans could, in the early 1990s, gain a larger audience and cultural relevance on the heels of the success of the band Nirvana, and how this and similar stations enjoyed commercial prosperity for several years, until demographic, technological, and other changes altered tastes and swung cultural attention away from what had come to be known as alternative music and from rock and roll-based forms in general, which led to declining audiences and ultimately to the sale of this particular commercial radio station owned and operated by a university in Rhode Island to a media company in California, which has plans to add it to its roster of 245 Christian pop stations. We could get into all of that. Or we can imagine a young woman, a girl really. Let's say she's 12 or 13 and it's 1937 and she lives in Manhattan. It could be Chicago or Atlanta or pretty much wherever really, but let's just make it New York. And her parents are out for the evening. To the opera, sure. These are people who go to the opera, and this is one of the first nights, maybe the very first night, that this girl is ever allowed to stay home for so long by herself. And she pads down the hallway into the living room, when she's sure her parents must be in a cab and gone, and she goes to the radio, one of those big old things with the wooden cabinet and the tubes and the dial that's heavy and satisfying in your fingers. And she is not allowed to turn on that radio by herself, because her father only listens to the one station, and it's a delicate instrument, and if you get it off the exact spot on the dial, it becomes a whole thing to tune it and get the signal just right, but screw it. Her parents parents won't be home for hours. And she turns the knob. She just lets it spin. Into her living room. At 12 or 13 years old. When the boundaries of her world and her life are still being set by her parents. When the music she hears is dictated by the dial that's set just so. Into her living room, through that radio, comes New York.
If you've got rhythm to burn, here's a dance that's easy to learn. If you don't, then your name is Mud. If you don't, you're a social dud. Cause everybody's learning how to do the Big Apple.
Comes all its music and all its languages and all the people she might meet when she leaves her parents' living room. And all the people she might be one day. And one night, maybe not this night, maybe over the course of other nights, sneaking out when her parents go out. Or maybe at her friend's apartments, or maybe when her father upgrades the radio and the dial isn't so persnickety and can trust that he'll get his perfectly tuned station back, even if she ventures off to explore other frequencies. She will find her station, and her music, and in no small way herself. And which music and which station this is will be historically determined and culturally determined. And her tastes and her interests and that no small part of herself will be molded and manipulated by DJs and programmers and shady promoters and record companies and any number of vested commercial interests operating within a marketplace and a regulatory framework that will determine what music is viable and available and broadcastable in that historical moment. And that station's music will be the soundtrack of a very particular time in her life, which in no small way will set, if not the course, then the rhythm of her life, then the expectations of rhythm, of romantic love, of how one dances and with whom, how one finds comfort, how one makes sense of heartbreak or loss or the times in which she lives. And that is no small thing. And this could have been a boy, could have been anyone. The year could have been 1956, or 1973, or 1961, or June of 82, right after school let out for the summer. That station could have broadcast from atop a skyscraper downtown, or a hill in the high desert, or a repurposed landfill greened over and dotted with wildflowers. The music could have been Chuck Berry, or the Shylights, or Roberta Flack, or Foreigner, or the Dave Clark Five, or Ashanti and Ja Rule, or Anne Murray, or the Mary Jane Girls, or Sabbath, or Al Martino, or 10cc, or Hector Laveau, or Louis Prima, or Laura Nyro, or Cameo, or Cardi B, or the Ronettes, or George Strait, or Soft Cell, or Celia Cruz, or Rosemary Clooney, or Amy Grant, or the Dixie Cups, or Carla Thomas, or the Spinners, or the Guess Who, or Rascal Flatts, or Julie London, or Rihanna, or Damn Yankees, or the Delphonics, or whatever that station played then, all the time then. It could have been coming out of the car stereo on back roads with the windows down, from the transistor radio on a blanket on the half-sand, half-dirt beach by the lake, from the boombox propped in a dorm window facing the quad, or the tinny speakers at the mini-golf place off the highway where the summer bugs circled the floodlights, or in headphones on the bus, too early, too cold, every morning. It could have been any station. It could have been your station. That one that was on the day when the one that played that one song, the time that, the one that in no small part made you who you were then. Maybe still are. But this one station, now gone, was mine once. And I was 17, and driving to the beach with no parents for the first time, and love for the first time, and went up and over the Mount Hope Bridge, and the light was on the water, and the air was warm, and The Memory Palace is produced by me, Nate DeMeo, with engineering assistance from Elizabeth Aubert. The show is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Our ad music comes from J.D. Sampson, and for a while there, her music played on that station, now defunct. We get ad-serving technology from AdZerk, and we get support from listeners like you. If you want to follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, I am at The Memory Palace. If you want to shoot me an email, I'd love getting emails. You can write to nate@thememorypalace.us. And if you enjoy what you hear, please let a friend know. Share it on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Peach. Is that a thing? It was a thing. It tried to be a thing for a while. Call a friend. Literally pick up the phone and call a friend and tell them you like the podcast. And I'll talk to you guys again. Bye.
Radiotopia.